Today is Tuesday, November 30th. What to know about the latest plans to tackle the new COVID-19 variant and what President Biden says he's already ruled out. Also, some of the world's most powerful countries are coming together again, this time over one nation with big nuclear ambitions. Plus, why Twitter CEO is stepping down and who's taking over. How a couple of college football coaches shocked fans this week. And some ways you can give back on this Giving Tuesday. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. Doctors and scientists around the world are racing to get new information about the Omicron variant of COVID-19 and figure out how to slow the spread. They're growing even more concerned since the latest warning from the World Health Organization. The WHO now says Omicron poses a very high global risk, and it's likely to spread all around the world. But there are still a lot of unknowns. There's no definite proof the variant is more deadly or more contagious than other strains already circulating. But the WHO says Omicron does have genetic mutations that could help it spread quickly, maybe even among vaccinated people. So the World Health Organization is asking countries to do more to classify the different COVID-19 variants and report when they come across local cases of Omicron. Here in the U.S., President Biden is calling Omicron a, quote, cause for concern, not a cause for panic. He's planning to visit the National Institutes of Health in a couple of days. That's also when he plans to outline a COVID-19 fighting strategy for the winter. He promised no more shutdowns or lockdowns, but more widespread vaccinations, booster shots, testing, and more. The White House's chief medical advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, says the standard PCR tests that have been used to diagnose COVID-19 for almost 2 years now will also catch the Omicron variant. He also says the vaccines on the market will likely work against it, at least some, but it's still not clear how effective they'll be. Speaking of vaccines, in the wake of Omicron, the CDC is strengthening its messaging on booster shots. The CDC recently said all American adults may get an extra dose of a COVID-19 vaccine. Now it says all American adults should get one. And reports say Pfizer plans to ask the FDA to authorize booster shots for 16 and 17-year-olds soon. Stay tuned. Before President Biden outlines his new COVID-19 plans, his previous ones aren't exactly playing out the way he hoped. Specifically, we're talking about the vaccine mandates the White House ordered. For starters, last week was the deadline for millions of federal workers to get vaccinated against COVID-19. And for those people, regular testing and masking cannot be a substitute for a vaccine. Well, now the White House says it won't actually start enforcing the mandate until after the holidays. So employees who were set to be suspended or fired over not getting their shots will get a little more time, or they can apply for a medical or religious exemption. Either way, the White House says 96.5% of the federal workforce has already followed the mandate. Meanwhile, another one of the president's mandates faced a setback in court. A federal judge blocked the Biden administration from enforcing a mandate on healthcare workers in 10 states that sued over it. The rule was supposed to apply to more than 17 million workers nationwide who work in facilities that get funding from the government. And December 6th was the deadline for them to get at least one dose of the COVID-19 vaccine, or else their facilities would lose funding. But a judge sided with the states this week, saying federal officials likely overstepped their legal powers. Many Republicans cheered this ruling since they worried the mandate would make healthcare staffing shortages worse. On the other hand, the White House says unvaccinated healthcare staff pose a threat to patients. So government officials are reviewing the ruling to decide what to do next. Similar lawsuits against the mandate are already pending in other states, too. And remember, a federal court also put a separate mandate on hold that would have made all U.S. workers at companies with 100 or more people either get vaccinated or be tested weekly. For the seventh time, Iran started negotiating again with the U.S. and other world powers over its nuclear program. The point of this week's talks is to find out what it will take for everyone to go back to the deal they agreed to in 2015. Remember, that agreement was meant to keep Iran from building nuclear weapons. But the U.S. left it a few years ago when the Trump administration said Iran was breaking its promises. When the U.S. got out, it put tough economic sanctions on Iran instead. Well, those sanctions are still in place now, and that's where the problem lies. Iranian officials say they'll only abide by the deal if the U.S. removes all its sanctions. But in the past, the U.S. has said Iran needs to go first, follow the rules of the nuclear deal, and then the sanctions will be gone. Now Iran won't even talk directly to the U.S. team. This week, they're being kept separate, and European diplomats are going back and forth between hotels to relay messages and possible offers to each side. but time to reach a deal could be running out. Over the last 5 months since the last nuclear talks, Iran has been advancing its nuclear activities. And some diplomats say soon it will be impossible to stop Iran from getting enough nuclear fuel for a bomb. Israel has even said it could take military action against Iran's nuclear program if these talks don't work out. To be continued. American officials now want to find out more about how top companies are handling the supply chain issues. The Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, launched an investigation. It requested information from Amazon, Walmart, Kroger, Tyson, Kraft, P&G, and others. Specifically, the FTC wants to know what companies are doing to fix the problems and how they divvy up products among stores when they're in short supply. It also wants to know how the large retailers have been able to avoid a lot of the issues their smaller competitors have been facing with shortages. And finally, it wants to make sure companies are not raising prices unnecessarily as Americans are dealing with inflation. So far, the companies haven't responded to the FTC's request, but they do have 45 days left to do so. All right, we have much more news coming up, but first, let's take a quick break to thank our sponsor, Ritual. When it comes to something that I put in my body every single day, I want to know that I can trust the ingredients and that it's doing what it's supposed to do. That's why I appreciate that Ritual has invested in gold standard, university-led research for its vitamins. For example, Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin was shown to increase vitamin D levels and omega-3 DHA levels in 12 weeks, helping to fill common nutrient gaps in the diets of women ages 18 and up. It's formulated with nutrients to help support brain health, bone health, blood health, and provide antioxidant support. Ritual has also committed to third-party testing from places like the Non-GMO Project. So all of that makes me feel great about taking Ritual vitamins as part of my daily routine. On top of that, Ritual's vitamins are fresh tasting and they never upset my stomach. They're also convenient. I only need to take 2 pills once a day. And when I'm ready for more, my vitamins show up at my doorstep so I never run out. And right now, Ritual is offering the Newsworthy listeners 10% off your first 3 months. Just visit ritual.com/newsworthy and turn healthy habits into a ritual. That's 10% off at ritual.com/newsworthy. Jack Dorsey co-founded Twitter back in 2006, and now he's stepping down from his role as CEO of the company. He'll still be on Twitter's board of directors until at least next year. The reason he gave for leaving is, quote, "I believe the company is ready to move on from its founders." In a separate note to the company, Dorsey said it was his decision and it was a tough one. He says he deeply trusts Chief Technology Officer Parag Agrawal, who is now taking over as the new CEO of Twitter. Agrawal started as an engineer and worked his way up over the last decade. CNBC says he's had a central role in developing the company's artificial intelligence technology. As for Dorsey, he's still CEO of the payments company Square, which he also co-founded, though he did suggest over the summer that he might be willing to leave both Twitter and Square to work on Bitcoin-related initiatives. Tiger Woods says he'll never play golf full-time ever again, but instead he hopes to pick and choose a few events a year if his leg is okay. He called it an unfortunate reality that he now accepts. He spoke to Golf Digest in what is said to be his first interview since his car crash earlier this year. Remember, Woods was apparently speeding when he crashed and caused significant injuries to his right leg and foot. He may speak more about his future today during a scheduled news conference. And while it was Tiger Woods who became the first black man to wear a green jacket, it was golf legend Lee Elder who was the first black man to play in the Masters. And now the golf world is honoring Elder's legacy. Elder died this week at the age of 87. Other golf greats are now paying tribute to him, including Jack Nicklaus, who said, quote, "The game of golf lost a hero." A couple of big-name college football coaches made some surprising moves this week. First, it was the OU Sooners coach who left after 5 successful seasons in charge. He took a head coaching job at USC instead, and he took his assistant coaches with him. This came as a huge shock since he won Big 12 titles every year he's coached for OU, and he coached 2 Heisman Trophy winners. For now, former head football coach Bob Stoops is taking over in Oklahoma. But that wasn't the only big move this week. News outlets like ESPN and AP have cited sources who say Brian Kelly is leaving Notre Dame to become the next head football coach at LSU. Kelly was in his 12th season at Notre Dame, and earlier this season, he became the winningest coach in Notre Dame history. Kelly is reportedly planning to meet with his team and break the news this morning. Then we may get more details like who will replace him. More coaching changes are expected, too. In fact, CBS Sports says there are bound to be many, many more. Today is Giving Tuesday. 2021 marks the 10th year of the unofficial holiday that always comes the Tuesday after Thanksgiving. It's a day meant to encourage people to donate some of their time, talents, or money to a good cause. Giving Tuesday began back in 2012. A New York City nonprofit partnered with the United Nations Foundation, and their reach has grown tremendously since then. Last year, Americans reportedly donated nearly $2.5 billion on Giving Tuesday. The Giving Tuesday website offers ways to take part today, from donating money to helping a neighbor to volunteering virtually to leading a Giving Tuesday movement in your local community. Of course, always make sure you're giving to a legitimate nonprofit. We'll put a link in today's episode notes to charitynavigator.org. Well, that's it for the main news today, but now it's time for Trivia Tuesday, when we ask a different trivia question every week. But first, a quick break to thank our sponsor, Rad Power Bikes. When was the last time you got on a bike and actually wanted to go up a steep hill? You can with e-bikes. It's probably why you keep hearing about them. People who use Rad Power Bikes say it's completely transformed everyday life. Here's the best part. Because Rad Power Bikes is North America's largest maker of e-bikes, they have models that can get you biking again, even if it's been a long time. If you're wanting to buy a gift for someone who wants to get out more or just seems to have everything, then hit up radpowerbikes.com and check out their award-winning lineup of e-bikes. They're in stock and ready to ship. That's radpowerbikes.com. Okay, now back to Trivia Tuesday. Today's trivia question is, what geometric shape is generally used for stop signs? You can answer the question and play along on Instagram. Just find and follow us at NewsworthyPod and look for the trivia quiz in our Instagram stories today. As for last week's trivia question, who was the first U.S. president to pardon a turkey? The answer is President John F. Kennedy. The National Turkey Federation became the official White House turkey supplier before that, but Presidents Truman and Eisenhower would eat the birds presented to them. Then Kennedy decided to spare one, saying at a public ceremony, quote, "We'll let this one grow." A few other presidents followed his lead, and it became an official White House event in 1989 under President George H.W. Bush. So now it happens every year. This time around, President Biden pardoned two turkeys named Peanut Butter and Jelly. So instead of becoming food, the turkeys will retire at Purdue University's Animal Sciences Education and Research Farm. All right, thank you so much for tuning into the Newsworthy today and every day. We'll be back with another news roundup tomorrow. Until then, have a great day.